Good evening. I hope you all are well. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedula Chimincha, Tati. The six letters have a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. The two words Kras Hatan come from these six letters. Kras Hatan means to tear up the Satan. The letters Kuf, which created the constellation Dagim, the fishes, Pisces. And the Gimel, that created the planet Tzedek, which is Jupiter. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Nagibor Dor Sheyechudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet is a gematria of 57, the same as the Hebrew word zan, or parnasa, sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that we can utilize to take back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem rakame sitkatha tamid gamlem Bet Tetresh Saditav Gimel. Chasim kadosh Birotuvcha Nael Adatach Et Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim. Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokrei Kedushatach. Yud Gimel Amud Pei Zayin Kuf, a sequence of letters that helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during the sixth millennium. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tadiyutaf. Sequence of letters that helps us manifest our heart's desires in our physical lives. And the last verse, the eighth verse, the verse we say in a whisper, which we refer to as silently. I'm now going to be reading from the Zohar, from the portion of Kititsa, section 11, titled The Golden Calf, verse 59. Vayihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononeh aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kononehu. Tachatzi kitiv v'yar ha'am ki b'shesh. Moshe man ha'am, inun erev rav, man erev rav, v'ki lodim, v'kushim v'kaf torin, v'tu gar meimim havo, v'karan lon, erev rav halo, mitzriim havo u'mimitzrayim, natlu v'ilu havo irvuvya. Yamin Sagiin Haki Hava Le Lemiktav Erev Rav Alu Itom Lefi Irbuvya Dilchom. Come and see, it is written. And when the people saw that Moses delayed, who are the people? He answers, they are the mixed multitude. And who was the mixed multitude? Were they Ludim and Kushim and Kaphtorim and Tugamin, who are called mixed multitude? They were Egyptian and traveled from Egypt. And if they were a mixture of many nations, it should have said so. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. Verse from Shemot chapter 12. Ludim, Kushim, etc., according to their mixture. Elsewhere, the Zohar teaches us that the Erev Rav were really two people, the grandchildren of Beor, the mother of Rivka, and the uncle of Abraham. And the term Erev Rav does not translate in any sense of the words mixed multitude. I don't know where that term originated and why it's translated that way, but Erev means evening, and Rav means large. So why it's translated as mixed multitude, I don't know. What is the real essence of the meanings? Who are these people? It's for another class and another study. Before I start speaking about the next mitzvah, does anybody have any questions? Okay, one thing I forgot to mention last week in discussing the mitzvah to know God, is there is an understanding and a teaching that says the first positive mitzvah in the Esther Dibrot is inclusive of every one of the 248 positive mitzvot. And the mixture or the mitzvah that we will talk about tonight, not to have idols, not to perform idol worship, is included. inclusive of every one of the 365 do not mitzvot. There are two styles of mitzvah that we've talked about. There's the do something, and there's the do not do something. And they are covered by the first two Esther Dibrot, which, according to the Midrash, are the two mitzvot that we all heard at Sinai. So as we go through the mitzvot in these classes, we will look to see how we can understand that any given mitzvah relates to these two mitzvot, and see if we can get a fuller understanding of what that entails and how that is meaningful in the other areas. So the mitzvah for tonight is the second of the Esther Dibrot. The mitzvah is do not commit idol worship. What is idol worship? Because I don't know when I have ever seen in my whole life someone bowing down to a wooden idol, as is the image of the concept of idol worship. And in the Torah itself, we have Midrashim that talks about idol worship, but in terms that you just find absolutely offensive. It seems that the Midian women who were trying to seduce the Jewish men in order to make it possible for Bilam to curse the Jews because they were vulnerable to curses because they would have sinned, the Midian women were sent to the Jewish men, and they enticed them behind tent doors into locations that were concealed from the world, and which they then proceeded to uncover themselves and to defecate in front of a wooden stick. And this, the Jewish men found so hilarious. The women were saying, you know, you can't be with us unless you do this. This was idol worship. The men were not doing it. They were making fun of the idol. But what was the consciousness? What's the idea behind it? As we understand the idol worship and idols in the earlier generations, literally there were entities that inhabited these things, whether it was a tree or a stick or some inanimate object, a rock, or whether it was a living thing like a tree or an animal. The idea was that entities would give reward to the people that worshiped them. What do I mean by give reward? The entities earlier would literally feed human beings with fulfillment, a pleasure, a feeling of pleasure, of contentment. That energy would be fed into the human being who was doing the worshiping. And in essence, the reason that they worshipped at these idols was to receive this feeling of contentment, this feeling of serenity. And this is what created the addictions to the idol. And people literally were addicted, just like people are today to crack cocaine, just like people are today to heroin. We are addicted to these pleasure-enhancing drugs. Idols were pleasure-enhancing entities. And this is what caused people to want to bow to an idol, bow to it, to, you know, become connected to these idols, which they then spent the time teaching their new convert their religion, whatever their ritual was, including the absurdity of defecating in front of a god, defecating in front of the stick. And what did the people receive who defecated in front of the stick? They got a renewal of the stick. They got a charge. They got a shock. They got fulfillment. They got pleasure. So what is idol worship then, and what is idol worship now? We've just explained a bit on what is idol worship, what it was then, was literally an idol is something, an energy-intensive consciousness that isn't the creator, but is a tool of the creator. This is the definition of an idol. This is the definition, and this is how we understand this mitzvah, do not create an idol. How we understand this mitzvah is constantly being broken without being realized. It's easy to understand no God. You just have to start studying, and the Hebrew letters will make changes within you that will eventually come to bring you to be closer to Hashem, to know God, to experience God. But it's harder to understand the consciousness of an idol, because as I've defined it, and the Kabbalists define it, an idol is anything that takes us away from our Creator. Anything that causes us to perceive the tool as the Creator. What does that really mean? Very common in today's world, money is an idol. People do not take the time to consider what they worship, what they cannot let go of. Anything that you are controlled by is an idol, and you are breaking the do not Esser Dibrot. You are going to receive consequences that will not be pleasant. All it takes is your consciousness that you asking the idol, something that you can't give up on, something that you can't take. This attitude will cause your ability to connect to God will be corrupted. is the danger of idol worship. So what is it that we can't give up on? What is it that controls our lives? The easiest answer is money. But it can also be God. It can be prayer, being religious. What does it mean to be religious? To do an action because another person commands you to. This is a God. This is idol worship. You are not the cause of your own personal actions. The cause is the entity that's involved. Money is the cause. You've heard the adage, money is the root of all evil. Well, now put that phrase into Kabbalistic context. Money is the root. Root is a Hebrew word, shoresh, meaning the seed level, the essence, the keter of what's going on. When someone is so enamored by money, that they will be cautioned and caused to do idol worship. If you cannot say, I can give this up, I don't have to have this money, I don't have to have this religious attitude towards God. The Creator wants me, He can communicate with me. I don't have to follow the patterns of behavior. This is on a general level. Although when I do, I find that it's really easier to participate. When I can walk away from an idol and leave it up to the night people, idol worship is a really huge no-no. But let's expand a little bit on what this idea of being religious is about. Someone who's in religious is not sharing the person. He's not sharing the idol. He's not causing the idol to work, to worship. Someone who cannot give up his connection to a thing is considered an idol worshiper. Almost every human being is a idol worshiper. Idol worship is this big no-no. Idol worship is a code word phrase for giving up your free choice to follow where you will go. Anytime you are locking up after a party, anytime you want to connect to something that you think is a channel to God, and then it becomes not a channel to God. This is what idol worship represents. This is what the process is teaching. It's a very short class tonight, I apologize. I was eating some carbohydrates just before the class, and it has caused me to become very, very drowsy. And I have briefly covered the subject of perhaps next week I will expand on this, what I've said about idol worship. Perhaps not. Tune in for what is appropriate. I'm bidding goodnight to you. Yes, I know it's a very short class, and I apologize. Next week we'll pick it up from this idol worship statement. Does anybody have any questions? If not, I invite you to join me tomorrow night for a dedication to the Zohar in Santa Monica. And wish you all Shabbat Shalom. Shalom.